Blog Talk Radio.
Show, your internet radio show. And this morning we are going to be speaking to a group of teachers and students around the United States and some that are studying and teaching abroad. And this is Professor Applewhite, your host for today's show. And we have a great lineup of co-hosts this morning. I believe one of them is already on air right now. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite.
Good morning. Do I recognize that voice?
Oh, this is Dorothy, resource announcer.
Oh, yes, you are the resource consultant for White Apple Institute. By the way, listeners, this show is sponsored by White Apple Institute. We are a volunteer-staffed organization that helps adult learners, to be successful in the classroom and in the workplace. So that's what our themes always are associated with. We've got some more callers, Dorothy, Rashid, so I'll be right back with you, okay? So you can introduce the show this morning.
Okay.
Good morning. Okay. We're waiting for this switchboard here, some little technical difficulties, but we're going to go right ahead and start with our description of the show today. So tell us what we need to focus on when we talk about do teachers burn out as quickly as students drop out. And this is part one. What would you like us to focus on, Dorothy?
Focus on the low. There are five factors that lead to the burnout.
Okay.
And White Apple Institute, we've been trying to support teachers with the strategies to overcome low self-esteem, number one, classroom behavior, number two, lack of parental support, number three, minimal intervention from administrators and community leaders, that's
mm-hmm.
number four,
uh-huh.
and poor salaries, that means substandard salaries for the teachers,
right.
That's number five, and our co-host will elaborate on the lack of parental support, specifically within the Black and Latin families.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Our co-host, Nazim Rashid, has a lot of great information on that particular area. This morning also, I think that we have other people that will be calling in, and hopefully we can address a lot of these strategies. You mentioned five, and you're absolutely right, and those are really related to supporting the teachers, okay? And but I have some other stuff that I wanted to share with our listeners this morning. And one of them is that when we talk about student to teacher relationships, everyone's, I'm sure you agree, Dorothy, everyone's got to respect each other, okay?
Yes.
And we have to value each other. And I think that if anything, Nazim, our co-host, and all of our other teachers and advisory board members have been coming on board to say is that we must first start with respect and value. And one of the things that I noted in reading through some of the literature on teacher burnout is that teachers feel, one of them wrote, here, I'm just going to read you what she wrote, okay?
Okay.
She's in North Bay, California, and she said, I was spent in the classroom. I felt like I'd been chewed up and spit out by the educational system. I was exhausted, yet couldn't sleep. The stress manifested as heart palpitations, facial twitches, and migraines. Migraine headaches seemed to be present around the clock. She said, I had isolated myself from colleagues who, though sympathetic, were not equipped to deal with the intensity of my difficulty. The rage I had towards an administration that didn't listen nor seem to care that a once considered dynamic master teacher was in crisis was more than I could bear. I saw no alternative, leave the profession. And my goodness, Dorothy, that's what we want to stop. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Isn't that heart-wrecking to hear something like that from a master teacher? We've got another caller on the line. I believe that might be our co-host there. Okay, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Nazeem Rashid here.
Good morning. My dear friend, did you hear that just heart-wrenching description from that teacher?
Oh, it was awful, but, you know, that kind of response is really, unfortunately, commonplace today.
Yes, yes, so sad. When, you know, and this is interesting when we look at the factor that we're so focused on student dropout, which is important. I mean, that's very important, Nazeem. But we find that student dropout, and this is tremendous research that's been done on this, is largely due to academic failure, okay? And but this academic failure leads right back into the teachers wanting to be there. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, sure. A lot of them, I'm telling you, it's really something. When they first, a lot of times when teachers first get into this profession, they're idealistic. They want to change the world. They want to make some real serious changes in the student and the system. But what happens is that because of lack of support, like
mm-hmm.
you were saying earlier, lack of parental
right.
support, and the one thing that's very important to understand, a lot of times teachers don't recognize the needs of their own spirit.
Yes, yes.
They don't do that. So they put it aside.
Mm-hmm. This is so.
And so what happens? Yeah. So what happens by them doing that, by you dishonoring your own soul and your own soul's needs, you keep going on with it. Happens that soul, matter of fact, the inner child inside is going to start rebelling, saying, "You're not listening to me. You're not
right.
honoring me. You're not paying attention to me. I'm
wow.
going to fix you all right. I'm going to fix you." What happens? You get frustrated. You'll start getting a lot of confusion. You'll start not hearing even positive messages coming to you and thinking everybody is now against you. You start playing the victim role more so.
Yes, very, very often.
Everybody is against you. And what happens, then that will exacerbate the burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Now do that.
That's right.
They don't honor what's already within them. This is why it's important for healthy, balanced educators to know when to step back and give time to themselves to feed themselves so they can actually be full in front of the classroom.
And I don't have to ask you to tell the listeners out there, where should they go for some resources and support? What organization do they need to connect with?
Well, there are some organizations out here. The very first thing we have to do is that just to understand deep breathing and mirror work.
Yes.
Sometimes understanding how to deep breathe properly and spend some time in front of a good old mirror, that is a good place. Because so many times, I'm telling you,
yes.
we avoid those things. We avoid looking at ourselves. We avoid spending quiet solitude in ourselves, because what happens, that's what real truth is. See?
Tell them our website,
so,
brother. Tell them our
yes.
website. Tell them where to connect with you, and with all of the other staff, voluntary staff, our counselors, tell them our website, or Dorothy, please, tell them our website. Tell them how to get in touch.
White Apple, yes, yes, whiteappleinstitute.org, whiteappleinstitute.org.
And if we don't, that's it. We have the resources for you teachers. Call us. Let us try to help you. Don't leave this profession. This profession is the oldest profession and begins with the onset of conception. Since the first conception, we began as teachers, and we interchangeably began as students. In agreement? We have another caller. One moment, please. Let me get this other caller. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. May I help you?
Habibullah Saleem, just listening to all of the wisdom that's circulating in your area.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
So
one of our co-hosts this morning, and joining White Apple Institute on the advisory board, and we appreciate you being here this morning. Any comments on what we've been saying this morning?
I think it's very, very insightful. What Nazim was saying about, you know, deep breathing and mirror time and looking at ourselves, all of that's very, very important. I think one of the main reasons that we're having these burnouts also, it goes back to what was being said, and I'm just going to use another word, it's low expectations of what is required for the job at hand. They really don't understand what to do with many of the youngsters that come into the education arena. And these youngsters are not coming prepared for what the teachers believe they are coming prepared for. And they're coming to test the teachers as well. They're not, we think that school is about testing youngsters, but youngsters are there to test the educators. And they will test you with energy. They will test you with anger. They will test you with laziness. There's so many ways that youngsters will test us, and too often we get, as you say, burnt out.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to do is I want to go back to those three areas that Nazim was focused on a moment ago. So, Nazim, hold on. I want you to repeat those. But we've got another caller, and I'm trying to make sure that we don't lose any calls. I know people become impatient when
right.
they call in, and we ask you to please hold on. I will try to get to you as soon as possible because we want to hear from you. Please call in to 646-727-3758, and our resource consultant, Dorothy, will be coming in and repeating that number in our website to you throughout the show. Let's go ahead and get this next caller calling in. I believe this is a blocked ID, but let's go ahead and say good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you? Hello? You can speak now. This is Professor Applewhite. Welcome to our show, Student to Teacher to Student. Let's go back for a minute and listen to what Nazim Rashid was saying as he was wrapping up three things, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Nazim, those things are in your book, Reconnecting.
Oh, yeah.
And that book is available through White Apple Institute. There's a waiting list. It's not published yet, but it's almost there, friends. And so put your name on the list. Let us know you're interested. Nazim, go take it away. Tell us about it. Those three things again.
All right. I mentioned deep
mirroring.
Breathing.
I know you mentioned. Deep breathing.
And what happens,
right.
Now, see, bottom line, we're talking about honoring our own spirit, honoring our soul, honoring the inner child within.
Yes.
And being okay there. See, anytime you have someone who accepts disrespect, accepts personal violations on a regular basis, accepts the lowest kinds of employment opportunities, or accept, you know, these kind of other low areas, what happens, you are demonstrating that you're not honoring what you have inside of yourself.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you're not doing that. That's why it's so very important to see yourself as being deserving of the best. When you
know, a lot of people.
When you deserve the best, then you can actually start desiring the best. But you can't deserve, you know, I'm not sorry, you can't desire until you deserve. You see?
That's right.
You've got to feel that, yes, I'm worthy of the best out here. So therefore, I'm not going to have disrespect from the school administration. I'm
right.
not going to accept disrespect from the students. I'm not going to accept disrespect in my household. I'm not going to have this, okay? No. And so you have to put up detour signs in front of you for any kind of spirit of disrespect coming towards you or any kind of low educational expectations or low achieving spirit from the students also. You accept none of those things.
That's
see?
Right.
And so, therefore, when you have excellence as the only acceptable measure in your classroom, then they all have to come up to that standard.
Oh,
excellent. That's it.
Right.
You see?
That's it.
And so now, but it starts with excellence with yourself.
Great word. Great
see,
word.
That's very, very, very important. And what happens now, yeah, so therefore, the burnout rate will decrease along with us having more honor for ourselves. More honor for ourselves goes up, burnout goes down.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And one of the things that's really important to note is that I received a correspondence from someone during the week who noticed that we do not speak a lot about adult learners with disabilities. Well, one of the things, listeners, I want you to understand, and this goes for teachers and students, because when we talk about burnout, we're talking about a disability. And as it is labeled and diagnosed and categorized by psychologists in our reference books, it is under stress management. And as I noted earlier, the teacher, the story that I read about the teacher having facial twitches and migraine headaches, these are symptomatic of someone who is facing burnout. When you listen to the words of our co-host this morning, you are hearing them say that these techniques are one of the ways that you can prevent this becoming certainly a long-term disabling condition, and pick up that phone or get on the internet and call us and let us know that you need some help, and we will try our best to connect you to the resources. But we are not going to focus on disability. We are always going to focus on abilities, and that word, that concept that Nazim brought to us a moment ago, excellence in yourselves, excellence in ourselves. We've got another caller online. We're going to come back to our wonderful co-host here. Let's see, who is this now? We're calling from 702 area. That's Las Vegas. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. This is Donna Govan, and this is my husband, Jerry's phone, from Las Vegas, because we used to live in Las Vegas and often go there sometimes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're happy to have you on the Teacher-to-Student Show.
Sounds like you're really digging deep this morning, so that's very exciting.
Digging deep, and this is part one. I don't know. I tell you, with the responses that have been coming in, just from people reading about the show, we might have to go part one, two, and three, because there are a lot of people out there that are interested in this concept of burnout and how it affects the students. You know, I mean, if we're worried about the academic issue, I mean, you know, Donna, you know, that's just like your book says, taking the E out of ego. I mean, there's got to be a story in there that can go for this, that can be related to burnout. I don't know if Jerry can pull something out of his hat right now that's related to the out of ego. But if you
we're trading off because we were at a conference this morning and it overlapped our timing. So I'm calling in for a little while, and then he may be able to step out and call in a little bit later.
Sure.
And I'll mention that to him and see if he could, you know, relate a simple story. But I will tell you, from being in school all of my life, when you were just saying that teachers have experiences that are burnouts. You know, I don't think students, especially younger students, but maybe adult students might say, you know what, I can tell that this person doesn't really enjoy what they're doing anymore, or their heart isn't in it. But a younger child will person, you know, might just, oh, well, that's the way that they are. So I think this educational process that you're doing is just extremely exciting. Because you're bringing out everything that's invisible that people know, but as Nazim says in some of parts of his book, that we don't acknowledge it and we don't recognize that some of the behind-the-scenes invisible things, such as not being feeling worthy, they affect so much of exactly whether we are able to succeed in a given subject or a given situation.
Wonderful.
Just really valuable. I wanted to mention that Jerry and I have been reading the foreword and the overview of Nazim's book coming out, and
yes.
I think it's just very dynamic.
Reconnecting, ladies and gentlemen, listeners out there. Dorothy, would you please give the call letters and our contact information again, because we want them to definitely take advantage of Donna Govan's experiences with her husband, Jerry, and their book. And how they can sign up to get Nazim's book. Can you let our listeners hear that, please?
Okay, yes. Our website is whiteappleinstitute.org, and the White Apple Institute phone number is 480-659-8582. And also, this morning, you can call in 146, I'm sorry, the talk show phone number is 646-727-3758.
And we encourage that.
And also, we encourage you to look at our website, blogtalkradio.com, student to teacher to student, and find out more information.
That's right, because this is just part one of Do Teachers Burn Out as Quickly as Students Drop Out? And I'll tell you, I'm not going to give you the
name
answer on that. I'm not going to give you the answer on that probably until the end of part two, because there's a tremendous amount of research out there. But I think I'm going to really surprise many of our listeners out there about how serious this burnout situation is, and that I'm happy for those that leave the profession that really feel they cannot do it. But I also urge you, before you do that, before you make that decision, please seek out some resources, including calling us and contacting White Apple Institute. But in some way, there's EAP, there's employee assistance programs, there's colleagues that can help. And I'm so sorry for this master teacher who the administrators ignored, and she has left the profession. We have another caller online, and I think that one of our other master teachers here, Salim, has some more to say. One moment, and I'll see if this caller is on. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Hello? I hear you a little bit in the background there. Your phone may be on mute. Okay. We'll go ahead and go back to Salim.
Habibullah Salim. Yes.
What do you have to say to us?
I have to say, I wrote something, and it says, teachers burning out each and every year. Parents unaware, students in fear, students in the rear. Teachers overworked, achievement delayed, pressure from students, teachers underpaid. Total aggravation resulting in disgust. Teachers burning out, no longer any thrust. Often not prepared for what to expect. Regressive education we need to correct. Years of experience, years overworked. Students dropping out from everyday hurt. A loss of interest, a loss of skills. Teachers burning out with very little will. Gone are the days when commitment was there. Students with teachers who don't seem to care. Of course not all, but one is too many. Schools in trouble, and the word is plenty.
Wow.
Teachers burning out, students out of class, students disgusted, unable to pass, students dropping out, a loss of self-esteem, many pushed out, destroying their great dream.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
Ooh, I know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, some clapping in the background here. I'm telling you, that's just very good. I knew it was there. And I tell you, listeners, that is not a pre-recorded applause. That is a true applause from our listeners out there. Some of them have a difficulty saying things on the radio show, but they're listening and they're calling in, and we certainly appreciate you. Thank you so much.
That is beautiful because of the beauty of the truth behind it, and
yes.
it brings out the positive side that we can always do something about it, but if we don't acknowledge first, then we don't know what to do.
Okay. I just want to say this. I was in Philadelphia, I think it was, and I did a workshop, and, you know, most of my workshops, all of them is, you know, music and high pitch, high motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the presentation, a teacher came up to me. She was an elderly teacher, and she said to me, she says, "You know, I'm so thankful for you coming here to give this presentation today." She said, "You know, I was getting ready to retire." She said, "But since I heard what you said today, I'm going back into the classroom."
There we go.
I just felt so great that one person at least had changed their mind about leaving the system.
That's right. And with you, with us on in the advisory board capacity, I can tell you right now, Avila, that you are going to help us with more.
That's good.
Okay. Is somebody else on the line there? Okay. We ask if you have some background noise going on, if you're calling in, listeners, that you find a way to mute your phone. Star 6 usually does it. But we certainly appreciate you calling in. Sometimes you have a mute feature on your phone that will do that for you. But we certainly appreciate what you wrote. And I'd like to ask you, dear brother Habibullah, to work with Nazim on that statement, that beautiful poetic statement that you made about dropouts. And I'd like to have that placed on the website for our teachers to see. So Nazim, are you in for that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's try to put something together because music is a way to teach also, and I think that goes back into our early civilization. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes. As a music educator yourself, if anybody's wondering what that great music was at the beginning, that's Nazim Rashid's music, and you can get his album Renaissance through Amazon. Where else is it available, Nazim?
Well, on jazzrenaissance.com, one word, jazzrenaissance.com.
Oh, wonderful. And if you didn't get that, Nazim is available through White Apple Institute. He is a personal development consultant, and as we are building White Apple Institute, he will be reaching out and talking to even more of you from a music perspective and relaxation, and also to help you with this mirroring. This mirroring is so important, Nazim. It's the mirroring that you talk about is what a teacher looks in the mirror, the physical mirror and the spiritual mirror. They have to see, it has to balance, doesn't it, Nazim?
Oh, yeah, for sure, absolutely. And a very good exercise that I have done, and actually I got it from Louise Hay, who was, I mean, one of my mentors.
Louise
Hay,
I love her stuff. Wonderful.
Oh, love you. And an idea... Stand before a mirror and outstretch your arm as if you want to hug
yourself.
Telepathy, okay. Mm-hmm.
And what happens, just stand before a mirror and have your arms outstretched, you know, and then look in your eyes. And first of all, say, "I'm open and receptive to any good you have to give me." You're looking right at yourself now.
Mm.
And then tell yourself, "I love you."
Yes. Yes.
And what happens is that some people now, I mean, when I first heard that, it was wonderful for me, but I'm told that, and I actually have seen, some people have a problem with that.
Nazim, it goes deeper than you can imagine. You know that I do a lot of teacher development, and, you know, that's one of the things that I have focused on for the last 10 years now. And I do an exercise where I have these little small mirrors, and I have the teachers actually look into the mirror. Nazim, you would be surprised, listeners out there, how many teachers cannot stand to look at themselves for more than about 15 to 20 seconds. We get in the mirror, we fix our hair. Go ahead.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. I agree with
that's
you.
That's right. Yes. If they can't look in the physical mirror, you can imagine how much more difficult it is to look in the spiritual mirror of who we are. And listen, listeners, how can we, as teachers, build up and value someone else, a student sitting in front of us, and you can almost finish this for me, I'm sure our co-host, if you can't value yourself?
That's right.
Is that deep or not?
It's very deep.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And see,
yeah,
teachers have to be able to,
you know, right.
And so teachers have to be able to look at the students, not just on a physical level, but deeper in there. So when I'm talking to students, I'm talking to the ones I physically see and this child inside of them. I'm talking to that one right there, you know, and so forth. And when I tell them, I'm concerned about you, I love you, I want to be on the same page as you so I can help you, I'm not speaking to the Latino or African American. I'm not speaking to that person. I'm speaking to that spirit, that soul, that inner child inside
that soul,
that's
right. That's right. Because that's why we get into teaching. We get into teaching, just I think you mentioned that earlier. Every teacher that I've ever met, from the very beginning, and I had a program at Gateway College called Future Teachers of America. And I'll tell you that the young people that came into that program so happy, and especially when I saw males coming into the program, young men, that really wanted, I'll tell you, they wanted to be in this profession. I don't want to see them burn out. And so not only do we have to take this show to the teachers and to the students, but we need to reach out and let the parents know. Parents, we need you to talk to the administrators, to talk to community leaders. And we need to not only follow what President Obama is saying about, yes, we can change our educational system. We need to really live it and follow some of the examples that we're hearing on the show for ourselves. We've got to change the way administration handles the teachers, because that is, by research, one of the greatest issues in burnout. What do you think about that?
What do you mean by that?
Okay,
what do you mean that they handle it? I have to leave here in just a minute, but that's
okay,
a fascinating
that's a good point.
I don't know what you mean. I haven't been in this realm.
That's okay.
I've always been a spiritual instructor. I've never been in the educational system other than as a student in college.
Well, it's support. The teachers are feeling a lack of support. I think Salim mentioned that earlier. The support that they're missing, Donna, is that in the classroom there are many behavioral problems. And even in the college classroom now, of course, with the high rise of students entering with mental illness and maybe some of them not taking their medicines, and so there are lots of behaviors being acted out in the classroom. When teachers go to the administration needs to listen and they need to support that teacher. They need to enter the classrooms of America, sit down in the classroom, administrators. This has always been a big beef of mine. Sit down and listen, and don't just do a performance evaluation once a year on your teacher. Go in and just sit there and be there to support him or her in what they are doing. And that is one of the ways that we can support our teachers and that they feel a sense of somebody cares out there, that this classroom is really getting out of hand for me.
That's excellent. Can I say one more thing just really quick,
sure,
because I need to leave and trade off with Jerry. But
I understand.
When we travel, we stay in Marriott hotels sometimes, and I read the book that they keep in their drawer next to the bed, and it is written by the founder of the Marriott hotels.
Oh, I read
and
it,
the reason,
yes.
Have you read it? Yes.
Oh,
so
it's
you know
wonderful.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because he believes, and this inspires people who work in business as well as instructors and teachers,
absolutely,
is that he would let someone go if they spent too much time at their desk. Because he wanted everybody to be on their feet, and that's the way he managed, on their feet, out with the people, wherever was going on, he wanted his administrators to be there. And this
is
just exactly what you're saying, is that if those administrators of education rotate into those classrooms more than they sit at their desk trying to figure out statistics, of what was going wrong, they would be part of the solution, maybe easier.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing that out. And I love the Marriott. I love the whole concept of it. I stay there probably more often than I stay at any other hotel. So we just
well,
did
let
a
me
plug
mention
for you, Marriott.
Also, one plug for Marriott, right. Let me mention to Nazim, too, that I think that what he's bringing out about not only the inner child, but the courage
mm-hmm.
that it takes to do that type of leadership is different than the courage, the smaller amount of courage that it takes to plan a lesson and deliver it and
mm-hmm.
go from day to day. It takes a more stepping out courage. But I know that, as you said, with the young teachers that you were, you know, teaching at Gateway,
yes.
it is there within all of us.
It is. It is. And that
I'll leave with that point because you guys are
Thank
doing
you.
Such an awesome job. I'm very inspired,
well, we
but I got to take my turn.
All of your additions, we appreciate it. That's why you're on the advisory board. That's why you're so important to us. And thank you so much, Donna Govan.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody
you guys
out there
want
to connect with Donna, connect with
thank
her.
Thank you, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Nazim. I'll talk to you soon. And also, Salim, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dorothy, you want to give us the call letters again for any of our listeners out there? Just one moment, Dorothy. Let me get this next call that's coming, and they've been waiting a while. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite.
Hi, Professor Applewhite. This is Martha Bergen.
Hello there, Dr. Martha Bergen. Are the one of the, I think, the most shining people in my life that really has brought social entrepreneurship to a new meaning. And when I say that, I hope that some of you are saying, what's that? What's that? Because eventually we are going to have Dr. Bergen on the show as a guest, and she is going to explain what social entrepreneurship means to teachers and educators, students everywhere around the world. So thank you for joining us this morning. Anything that you'd like to add to our discussion on teacher burnout?
Well, it's been a wonderful discussion. I've been listening for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Habibullah's poem quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you.
It's a wonderful contribution, and I do hope you put it on the website.
Yeah.
I guess I really think a lot of important, you know, just the idea that we've got to connect around the reality of the student and the teacher and what happens in the classroom and just be there.
Yeah.
And what came to me was that it helps me as a teacher so much when my students are willing to talk to me about their experience world, because it's certainly not mine. I'm this middle-aged lady who lives in a house and comes to the classroom and teaches, you know.
Oh, but a great professor you are. Dr. Bergen teaches communication and sociology classes.
Well, the thing is that I can't do a good job unless the students start to tell me about what's going on with them. And it's more than just what do I think about what's on page 23. It's about what does this mean to me? What does this word mean when I use it? What kind of things are happening in my life? What are my categories of how I view things? And I was kind of wondering if you guys have some insights on how to get students to kind of open up as part of that process.
Well, I'm going to tell you my methodology, and then I'm going to let the other master teachers online kind of jump in. For the last probably a little bit more than 10 years, 30 years, but I mean 10 years I've been actually focused on teacher development. And one of the things that I absolutely will not teach without a group interaction. So I automatically start dividing people up into groups, and I do this, it's really simple. I do it by the kinds of movies that they like. And as a psychologist, I'm telling you, it's very interesting that the movies that they pick tend to profile their personalities, and there's a real good meshing of and they try to pick movies that they've seen recently. I said no, the movies that you really really like that nobody else has influenced you to see, that's the movie I want to hear about. And the categories start building, and unbelievable interactions take place at the table because of this personality meshing that's going on. In addition to that, the first assignment I always give to teachers is, what are you here for? What do you want to do with this? And if
Very
we
good.
Start from that premise, then we can get into that desire issue that Nazim and I are always discussing. You have to do what was that we do first, Nazim? Before we get to desire, we have to want to have a desire,
we have,
right?
We have to deserve before we desire.
Deserve. That's the word, yes. Go ahead, Nazim. Any other comments you'd like to make on that? How do you get them talking? I mean, and that's just teachers, but the teachers are students too, Dr. Bergen. So when I speak, mm-hmm. I speak interchangeably. It's the same process I use with just college students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Nazim. Sorry.
Well, with the students, Dr. Bergen, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Nazim.
How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice.
That's good. Now, tell me about the students you're having. I want to make sure I speak directly to your question there. Now, can you pose the question to me again so I can really focus on just on your issue?
Well, okay, I'm an old fart. I'm like 55 years old. And I get students in my class who are like 17, 20, and mm-hmm. their whole experience of being a human being, you know, we have a lot in common because we have a physical body and we exist in this society, but we have a lot of things about each other that we don't have a clue about.
Right.
And it's mm-hmm. like how to bridge that gap, especially because, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and that age gap is, to me, a challenge that I could be a lot better teacher if I had more tools for bridging, you know, gaps like age and culture and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, with that, I always tell students, because if they see anything about it, we don't know what path the kids came before they came to us. We don't know their path or their history.
That's right.
So, therefore, it's important for us to be allow ourselves to let the kids, to let the students lead us. Lead us. So tell others, tell me your story. Tell me where you've been. Tell me what's going on. Tell me about your challenges and so forth. Tell me what kind of conditions you're under that brought you here in the first place. So once they tell you their path, then you can actually kind of step on their path and be with them at that level and help them to provide some tools for them, you see? But it's always important when we look at the word education. The word education is not a word that dictates me as a teacher giving education, giving information to a student, cramming it down there, imposing upon them what I have to them, and making them be something, some creature that I want them to be. It's not about that. Education is actually a word that's designed to show the student that the education is inside them already.
Yes.
It's already in them. The knowledge mm-hmm. is there. The answers are there. The gold, the diamonds, the jewels, the bling is already inside of
them. We are reawakening. We are reawakening, as many Buddhists say, reawakening the Buddha. Okay?
Inside of them, yes.
Exactly.
Inside of them. So we have to see them as having it already inside of them. So we want to ask them, well, tell me more about what's going on. What's wrong with you? Because I want to know so I can help you, you know, help you dig inside you, pull out your real answer. It's in there. And that's what we got to do. We got to allow them to feel comfortable. First of all, a lot of students don't feel comfortable talking to teachers about their past.
No, they don't.
Their history,
no, they
so
don't.
Forth.
That's very true.
They don't feel. So we got to make sure they feel safe and comfortable. Be safe. Another thing, students don't feel safe around a lot of us because they think we're going to go and tell everything they're going to tell us to their parents or the teachers or who knows who, you know.
Anonymity.
So we've got to make sure they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymity is an important part of this process at the very beginning of a class, the first assignment to enrich them is to allow that anonymity to exist, and the fact that when you ask students to relate this to you, you have to build a trust that says, "This, I want you to write this because I know Dr. Bergen's thinking, my God, I'm looking at here, and sometime I have, you know, 30 or 40 students in the classroom. It's impossible within the short amount of time to really get to each one of them and get deep enough for that discussion to take place. Plus, you know, we're dealing with the embarrassment and, as you said a moment ago, the discomfort that students feel, especially those that come from an environment where there's not this educational arena in their home environment. This is a new place for them. So
right.
when you allow them to write, or they can speak it, I've allowed students to just make a tape recording and give it to me. I don't get that back. Most of the time they will just write, but if you tell them, just like Nazim was saying to you, tell them to tell me how you feel, and tell me, I always ask them to tell me what you want me to teach you from this course. Because the biggest thing that we find, too, when the first day of the class, and we're really emphatic about that, aren't we all? We're very emphatic about, please be there the first day of the class, because I'm going to hand out the syllabus. I'm going to tell you about what's going to go on for the year. But in addition to that, I feel it's important because I get to know you at that first onset. And I want to know that I'm not just going to teach you. I want you to learn. I can teach all day. I can stand up in front of a classroom all day. All of us can do that. But how do we know that someone's learning, and how do we know that they're learning what they came to learn?
Right.
So I hope that helps you. I think that Mr. Salim, Brother Salim, you have something more to share. Nazim, are you finished with your point? Did you have something more on your point?
Well, I'm fine with that. Let the Brother Habibullah speak.
Okay. Habibullah?
I want to go back to the rescuing of teachers when they are deserving of that, of being rescued.
Okay.
I think teachers have gotten to the point where they think to be rescued means that the principal or whomever it is that's rescuing them, their job is to put down the student that's giving them trouble or giving them a challenge.
Oh yes, back to that. Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Okay, so. the balance of leadership is often something that I find principals and others not being able to handle quite well.
Yes.
They feel obligated that the best way to keep teachers in my corner or keep teachers in my closet or what have you is to make sure I let them know that, that no good rascal, that no good so-and-so, whatever, we'll get him. And it doesn't come out in those words. But in the end, a child has been punished or damaged quite severely. And the balance
the child
of,
within or the adult. The adult with the child. That's right.
So the key is, like I always say, this is our classroom. This is our school. And I used to say, how many teachers how many books did you read today?
Yes.
Or how many teachers are in your class? And when I say how many teachers, if I have 25 students, or I mean books rather, if I have 25 students, that means I've read 25 books that day, I have to read them every day.
Wow, that's great.
I have to read them every day. How many teachers do you have in your class, Johnny? We have 30 students. Oh, wow, you have 30 teachers. You have a teacher and you have student teachers. So what are you saying? Teachers learning from students learning from teachers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a back and forth kind of situation. And once we can keep that balance and let youngsters know, you're just as valuable. The foot is just as valuable as the head. The heart is just as valuable as the mind. Lose either one, you're gone.
We've got another caller online.
Okay,
We've
got ahead.
12 minutes remaining on the show this morning. And we hope, Dr. Bergen, we've given you some ideas that will help you to formulate that first day as that first day of many classes is coming up. And let's see what our other speaker, we have a 702 again, Las Vegas. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite.
This is Jared.
Jerry Govan, author of Taking the E Out of Ego, and we wanted to know if you could, we're talking a lot about teacher burnout, and some of the reasons why we have teacher burnout is most of it has to do with the lack of support from the administrative end, and we've had some wonderful ideas coming up, and Dr. Bergen has joined us on the show. And her issue surrounding teacher burnout extends to the student in the classroom and how does she bridge her experiences as a mature professor to the 17 and to 20-year-old student that's sitting in her classroom. And I'm thinking you're going to say stories help, okay? But I hope you've heard a lot of the other stuff we've been bringing up too. Hello? Oh, I think we lost his... He'll call. We've lost his call. He'll call back in a moment. Sorry about that. Anyone else would like to bring up anything about what I just said just now and the factor that academic issues and, administrative issues seem to be the lack here. And here we have Dr. Bergen saying, well, it's not just the administrative support. I'm feeling that there may be a sense of burnout in the fact that I'm not bridging with my students. Did I say that right, Dr. Bergen?
Yeah, and I resonated a lot with the responses. I thought they were excellent. And what Nazim said, I'd like to add that the root in Latin for education is ducere, which is like a duct, like the aqueducts. It's like an air conditioning duct, if you want. It's something that you draw something through. And when I learned that, it was so profound for me, because education is about, as you say, that jewel that's already there, the potential, the awareness, the growing mental connections are already there, but your job is to draw them out of the person. Yeah. That's education, not clunking stuff into their brain.
Right, that rote memory stuff. We've got to get away from that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We understand it. I mean, we know that we walk into a classroom of what we have sometimes only 50 minutes, and that's knocked down to 40 once you get into the lesson, explain the lesson, and that kind of thing. So within that time frame, my goodness, it is difficult. I'm not at all being, and I don't think any of us are not showing that type of empathy to the listeners out there that are teachers. But what we're saying is that let us help you. Listen to the show. Come on the show. Tell us about your examples, and let's at least brainstorm together on some ways that we can be more effective and become that aqueduct and draw the enlightenment that already exists in our students. And that's so key, is that I respect all of my students. I've learned from them. Every classroom has its own persona, its own unwritten belief system or culture. And I get into it, and I'm happy. I'm excited about it. The first day of class, I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else share that?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, I want to share a very small story. I had a student in Oakland, California, who at first she was so rebellious and she was using some of her sexual charms, I guess, to distract the boys in the class, and the type that I would normally, well, not me, but I guess what teachers normally do is get rid of that person, you know, get rid of that person, they're a problem in the classroom, get rid of that person who's going to have a nice class. And at first, I thought the same way. I said, wait a minute here, this person is disrupting my class. I said, no. This is why we need to have discussions with ourselves before we make certain decisions.
Right, that mirror. There you go, back to that mirror again.
Back to that mirror. You know, so after I talked with myself, I had a meeting with myself, and I had a nice board meeting in the mirror. I decided that, no, I need to focus on this person instead of ejecting this person. And so I said, okay, I did that. And so I said, okay, let me find what's going on with this person. Now, I found this person is coming from a broken home. Her parents are from Ethiopia, but she was born here, and there's a lot of cultural issues going on, and she wants to be like everybody else and so forth. Now, she was
definitely
she has those kind of, I would say she was blessed in the area of having what's called, you know, the hourglass body, and she had the perfect little, all the signs that the boys, you know, will stop and stare at. She had all the things there that would cause the average boy to cause a problem.
Okay.
You see? And
seems
she
like she made an impression
things.
Too on all of us. I'm imagining this myself.
and she had all the
glass. Must be a beautiful model of a girl.
She had the model. She had the model. She had all that. And she used it all.
And a bag of chips.
All that, you know. And I said, oh, boy, you know. And so I said, hey, girl, let me talk to you a little bit. So I was talking to her, and I said, look, I want the best for you. I want you to succeed. I want you to make it in this class and your other class. Now, at first she said, sure, right. You're just like everybody else. You're going to say this nice, fluffy thing, then you'll go away.
Right.
You know. And so I said, no. So what I did, I made an extra effort. I called her parents up. I did a home visit there.
Wonderful.
I went to her. I talked to the principal about her. I talked to other teachers that she dealt with.
Wonderful.
I did all that. And then she came back to me, and she said, her look was completely different. She said, you talked to my parents? You didn't talk to my teachers? I said, yeah. At first I thought she was angry. She said, wow, I didn't know you would do all that.
Wow. Wow.
Now
listen to that,
have
teachers. That's right. We can go back to that basic principle. Even if they're in college, there's nothing wrong with making a phone call. You can't share the grades with them once they're in a college setting. You can't share grades unless the student gives permission. But calling and just saying hello doesn't hurt a bit. Thank you so much for bringing that out. We have about 5 minutes remaining on the show right now, and I know that we've got Jerry Govan coming on, and I'm going to allow him to close our show today with a great story. I'm sure he's found something that he wants to share with us. But without further ado, I've got to bring on Dorothy Rashid, our resource consultant, make sure that whatever she's got to share with us, we get that into the show today. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to remind everybody about Jerry and Donna Govan's book, Taking the E Out of Ego, and also Danita, I have a list of your book that I didn't remember we had, The Rehabilitation of Our Illness Mentality.
Illness Mentality, absolutely, yes. That will be coming out in 2010, yes.
Yes, and then also Habibullah Salim's Poetry for Educators,
yes.
Which is has come out in the past. But for more information on that, you can go to our website, whiteappleinstitute.org.
We prefer for them to go to the website, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
And make sure that they sign in. They need to sign in when they go to our website so we can get an idea of who's out there and if you're listening to the show. And they can also comment on the show, right, Dorothy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can on the website for blogtalkradio.com /student-to-teacher, mm-hmm. and that's numerical character too. You can listen to other shows and listen to today's show in case you missed it, and you can make comments there at the website.
Now, Dorothy is listeners. Dorothy is always willing to talk to you about library resources. She's really into that. I mean, not that we don't believe in the internet. We are a virtual organization, and we always use a lot of technology in what we do because we reach out across the world. However, we don't want people to forget, and Dorothy's very emphatic about that. Please visit your local library. Right, Dorothy?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, now we've got 2 minutes remaining on the show, and I've got to get Jerry Govan back on here so that he can share something from his book. Jerry, we've got about, say, a minute and a half. Can you share something with us that will be enlightening for our teachers and students listening today? Jerry? Hello. This is Professor Applewhite. I can tell you, if Jerry doesn't have it today, we can't seem to get him. He's probably traveling around Las Vegas area and can't get a great signal there. So, hello? I hear him trying to come back on.
Mira?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh. Does Jerry have that story for us?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, we've got about a minute and a half, Jerry.
All right, you've had a beautiful morning of sharing and the mirror exercises and connecting with the classes. And what I have always found in my opening doors is letting your shares be your prayers. And often in the school districts, that's how we got the dropout program approved, with that very phrase, let your shares this morning be your prayers, or let your prayers be your shares, which is really what.
Great.
We had
let
to,
your prayers be your
these
shares?
Rules of, let your prayers be your shares.
Wow.
So that you're sharing from your heart and opening doors. And to me, it's opened many doors. We got the dropout program at Hollywood High approved using that phrase in less than 30 minutes with a group of 20 people. And
there you go.
In Long Beach, where we did a dropout program where a gentleman had donated 50 computers for dropouts. And we had the entire program approved by the Long Beach school system at a breakfast.
There you go. There you go. We've got a lot of research coming in from California, from all over the place, on this burnout issue and this teacher burnout issue and student dropout issue. Join us next week as we continue with part two of this great discussion. We always have a conversational dialogue going on. So we invite you just to jump in and start talking, and we all respect each other, and we all have something so wonderful to say. Now, people, before we leave, give us a little bit of a jingle at the end here of that great poem that you came up with.
I got one. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. Not understanding my interests and needs, my teachers helped me to no longer believe. My teachers would scream, my teachers would shout, encourage me more to soon drop out. So much I knew, so much I had, yet my teachers would make me mad. A gift from God, I loved to talk. Whatever went wrong, it was my fault. I loved my teachers, I needed her love. At times, encouragement or just a little hug, yet just the opposite, put out of the room. So difficult it was for me to bloom, and so I'm now walking the streets, dropping out of school, unable to compete.
Keep up that great work, and we're so happy to have you join on board with White Apple Institute, and thank you. Oh, there's that applause again in the background. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much love and peace.
Thank you.